The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
William Eklund is giving chase in the offensive zone. Loses on the stick check to Marcus Pettersson. He knocks him down. The pucks get free. And Adam Gaudette in the right corner is trying to go back to Eklund, but they miss contact. Now Severini intercepts. Moves in front. Eklund now to Gaudette. Shoots. Score! Celebrini to Eklund to Gaudette, and Gaudette finishes it off. At 4 minutes and 43 seconds of the first, the Sharks lead 2-1.
Yeah, started with a big kill, that 5-on-3. We had a kill off, and then we talked about after the second period. We got a chance to put the nail on them, in them here and step on them and clean big goal in the power play, 5-on-3. So I think we've learned a little bit of a lesson there as far as last game. Even though you get the result, you got to keep pushing forward and getting better in some areas. And I thought that was important to see.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is Wednesday, January 28th, very close to the start of February. And the San Jose Sharks are still occupying a playoff spot in the Western Conference. This morning, they are in the second wildcard spot, 57 points, 3 points back of Utah, 2 points back of Anaheim for third in the Pacific. They are 5 points back of Edmonton for second in the Pacific and 6 points back of Vegas for first in the Pacific. But I will remind you that San Jose, at 51 games played, has 2 games in hand on Utah and Anaheim, 3 games in hand on Edmonton, and 1 game in hand on Vegas. So the San Jose Sharks looking to catch up in terms of games played. But for a second consecutive game, they put a team out of the game early. And yes, in this game, they did fall behind 1-0 in the very early going of the game. And that was a relative wake-up call. But the San Jose Sharks came storming back with 3 goals in 5 minutes and 55 seconds. According to Jonathan Becker, Sharks president, that is the fastest that the Sharks have scored 3 goals to open up a game, which surprised me because I would have assumed that it would have happened back in a previous era of Jumbo and Marlow, et cetera, but it just shows you where this team is right now, where they're going, how obviously good they are, and even though they have a long way to go, this team is by no way ready to truly contend for a Stanley Cup title, barring some sort of a miraculous run that at this point I don't see coming, but it just shows you how much they are evolving. We were not having the conversation of this San Jose Sharks team going out on the road with 5 straight to take them into the Olympic break and saying, oh, okay, well, this is what San Jose needs to do when they, are at this point to stay in the playoff race. That was not the narrative at all. Now we're saying, okay, they can beat Vancouver. They can beat Calgary. They can beat Chicago. Obviously, Edmonton and Colorado are going to be very, very tough. That said, Edmonton in particular, I don't think is as dangerous as Colorado. But when you have Connor McDavid out there on the ice, anything could happen at any moment. You have to be distinctly aware of that. But the Sharks, again, taking care of business. They took care of business by going 500, winning 2 out of 4 on their most recent road trip. Then they came home and beat the Rangers, a team they are better than, convincingly 3-1. The difference between the game against the Rangers and this game against Vancouver was that San Jose poured it on a little bit more. And yes, the Sharks took them out of their comfort zone early on in this game. That was no surprise. But you're up 3-1. You needed to build upon that. Obviously, the game against the Rangers could have gotten interesting at various points. The Sharks got a great start from Ned, which kept them off the board. And Vancouver did eventually get another goal in this game. So if you would have had a 3-2 scoreline late in the game as opposed to 5-2 where it was because they got up 5-1, that's an entirely different mindset. There's more stress that's involved there. There's a little bit more facing whatever Vancouver's going to throw at you. And so the Sharks passed all the tests. They did everything that was asked of them. They put themselves up by a comfortable margin of 5-1 that even when Vancouver did push late and score a goal to make it 5-2, the Sharks were able to clean up their game because they had started to relax a little bit, and they were able to relatively cruise to the finish. That is what good teams in the NHL do, and that is why we are having the discussion about them, you know, keeping their playoff hopes alive as they head into the Olympic break. That is not something that we were, again, expecting to be talking about, and yet here we are. It's a great, not even problem to have, it's just a great storyline to have because it was so relatively unexpected. But obviously, tough times are up ahead with the Oilers up next. But so much about this game really, to me, is indicative of how talented the Sharks team is, because I was looking at last night's roster and thinking to myself, who comes out to make room for Kiefer Sherwood? And that is the big question I have, is who are you taking out of this lineup? And that is the challenge that the San Jose Sharks have right now to try and figure out how they're going to make themselves even that much more of a better team. Because I do believe that Kiefer Sherwood makes the Sharks a better team. I just am curious how they're going to do it. And I don't think that there's a quote-unquote wrong decision. I just wonder who is the odd man out of that lineup to put them in and make them a better team, because the Sharks have had so many players step up in so many ways over the course of the year, and you don't want to do anything that disrupts what the Sharks have been able to do up to this point. And so that's the challenge now. The Sharks are winning, everyone's contributing, and now they have hard decisions to make. Let's take a quick glance at the scoreboard from last night. Macklin Celebrini, a goal and three assists, 4 points. Will Smith, a goal and two assists, 3 points. John Klingberg, a goal and an assist, 2 points. Sam Dickinson, who's getting better and better by the day, 2 points for him, two assists. Tyler Toffoli, a goal. Wenny, he gets a point out of last night. Gaudette gets a goal. Eklund gets an assist. And then Reeves, Orlov, Goodrow, Desharnais, Liljegren, Ferraro, Stopchuk, Regenda, Graf, and Misa all even across the board throughout the remainder of the game. You know, those guys played great. Everyone on the roster last night had a pretty quality game. One guy who goes unsung, who I think should start scaring the NHL rather quickly, is Michael Misa. He is starting to figure it out. The aggression with which he is playing, he's skating so much harder. I talked to him about this in the interview that was on the last Morning Tide, and if you want to see the video, it's up on my YouTube account as well, Ted Ramey Sports. But the interview's in the last Morning Tide or up on my YouTube. He is playing with an aggression, and he is making things happen. He's getting shots. That was not in his game earlier this year, and you've started to see it develop in these last couple of weeks since he's been back out there for San Jose. He is developing into a problem, and again, that is the Sharks doing things correct in terms of their player development. They didn't rush him. They didn't throw too much at him, and now, again, the game is coming to him, and he's going out there and getting the game. That's another part of it. He is not showing the same tentative nature and hesitation that was there early on, which is to be expected. Not everyone is going to be shot out of a cannon like Macklin Celebrini, but now you're watching him get more comfortable with the game, making plays, making passes, taking shots, being disruptive out there on the ice. That is a very, very dangerous thing for the Sharks team to be adding to their lineup. And then you look at Sam Dickinson. Sam Dickinson is growing by leaps and bounds every single week. I know we can try and look at every single game, but last night's a 2-point game for Sam Dickinson. He is in on a lot of plays. He's making good defensive plays. He's making stops. He's making reads. His two-way game is showing. And again, a lot of people earlier in the year wondering why he's in and out of the lineup. You have to make sure you don't throw too much too quickly at these young kids, because they have a long ways to go in terms of their play and their development. And right now we're watching Sam Dickinson develop. We're watching him turn into the player that we thought he was capable of being. And really, when I say turn into the player, I would say scratch the surface. I think he has a long way to go to turn into his high watermark of what I think we can be, where his ceiling is. But again, now we're starting to see some signs of that ceiling, some signs of what he can do, how he can contribute in both directions out there on the ice. And when you combine his rookie play with the rookie play of Michael Misa, watching Colin Graf develop, watching Pavel Regenda be a developing depth player for this team, who I don't think anyone was expecting, but has been a pleasant surprise, you're watching these guys all contribute. Will Smith, now fully back in form with San Jose. That snipe where he went upper deck to score, my goodness, what a shot, what a goal, what an absolute snipe. I mean, that was absolutely filthy, absolutely filthy. And the Sharks just being able to take control of the game at various points, whether it was early on when they went down 1-0, whether it was Will Smith's second period goal about halfway through, whether it was John Klingberg early in the third to continue that power play, that is a team, A, handling the game. We've talked so many times about game management, and that is a relatively nebulous term. But in my opinion, each game presents different moments of game management. And for the Sharks, it was in the second period when they had a 3-1 lead and Vancouver had started to push back and play pretty well. San Jose got the goal from Will Smith and then completely took over the game. And they looked like they had other opportunities in which they were going to be able to score. And then you also manage the 5-on-3 situation where you've got Yaroslav Askarov making incredible saves. You've got Mario Ferraro blocking shots, doing everything. Vinny Desharnais having absolutely monster plays out there for San Jose. And then in the third period, again, when you've got a 4-1 lead and you know you're on the power play, you take a 5-1 lead. Although we have seen the Sharks come down from a 5 or come back from a 5-1 lead, you know, that's not going to happen every night. And they extended the lead to 5-1. They extended it from 3-1 to 4-1 in the second and managed the big moments. That is how you go about winning a game on the road in the NHL. And you go about doing it with purpose. You go about it, you know, with your style, with your game plan. The San Jose Sharks are passing the tests that are before them. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to pass every test, because again, Edmonton is a very, very good team and a very, very big test taking them on the road. These two teams have not met up to this point of the year. Huge challenge for San Jose. This is a big game, but they're beating the teams that they're better than, whether it's New York, whether it is Vancouver, whether it is, in my opinion, Florida right now. And I mean that in no way of disrespect to that team, but they're just, by way of injury, not the team that they are expected to be. And, you know, they were better than an injured and a little bit beat up Washington, and they were able to take advantage of that game and beat Washington. Again, that's what you're supposed to do. You beat the teams that you're better on paper on any given day, and you're going to find yourself in that playoff conversation longer and longer into the season. And then we look back full circle at Yaroslav Askarov, who had his best start in quite some time, made a number of key saves, whether they were on the penalty kill, whether it was on the 5-on-3 situation, whether it was just another critical moments of the game. You know, that first goal, I don't think there was anything that he could do to stop that one. The second goal, maybe, but that's a great performance from Yaroslav Askarov. He did everything that was asked of him. He only let two goals by. He was great in critical situations, and the Sharks were able to ride that to a win. That's exactly what you want him to do. If he can get his momentum rolling again, that's going to make the Sharks that much more dangerous as they head into this Olympic break. And then you go back to the guy who's the spearhead of all of this, who's at the vanguard, who is the key reason for this franchise to have turned around, Macklin Celebrini. Again, the Sharks go down 1-0 in this game. Macklin Celebrini immediately turns it around with a near mirror image goal of the second goal that he scored against New York the other night. Ties it at 1. I mean, just the timeliness of that for him to come up with that big moment. It's like, okay, you're down 1-0. Sharks need a response. You're 36 seconds after you go down 1-0, and then suddenly it's 1-1. Macklin Celebrini just stepping up to the moment. And then immediately thereafter, assisting on the next goal. That's, again, that's everything that Macklin Celebrini shows that he has the capability of being in the NHL in such a short order. He scored a game-tying goal and then comes down, sets up a go-ahead assist situation by making the first pass, secondary assist, Celebrini to Eklund to Gaudette, tic-tac-toe. Sharks go from down 1-0 to up 2-1 so very, very quickly. You know, that's a game being turned on its head. And then just about a minute after that, even though Macklin Celebrini was not a part of it, the Sharks get a goal from Tyler Toffoli, whose game has been picking back up as of late, to make it 3-1. And again, Macklin Celebrini keyed in on those first two goals to take the Sharks from a deficit and then sucked the win out of Vancouver's sails, gave the Sharks a 2-1 lead with his play specifically, and then the Sharks were able to build upon that. And that's key. That's huge. That's clutch. That's the future captain of this team. In my opinion, that is Macklin Celebrini playing like a superstar. He goes on to factor on all but one goal the rest of the night. Macklin Celebrini is a bona fide superstar in the NHL. There is no debate. There is no question. There is just Macklin Celebrini continuing to perform at a remarkably high level. Other things I liked out of this game, San Jose buzzing in the first period, responding, not just in the sense that they scored three goals. That was great, but they kept on pushing. They kept on pushing. They racked up, I think, in excess of 15 shots on goal in that first period. There have been far too many times where the Sharks have been a little bit passive after scoring, but we're seeing it a little bit more lately where they're able to buzz consistently at different points of the game and get more shots on goal, keep on putting the pressure on the opposition. That's what they need to have more of in their game. They need to continue to be able to put the pressure on, go pedal to the metal, take control of the game, and that's exactly what they did. And they didn't just do it by way of scoring three goals. They did it by way of killing penalties, especially 5-on-3. They did it by way of Jaroslav Askarov coming up with the big stops. They did it by way of, you know, responding in certain game moments when they maybe were getting a little bit sloppy, especially later in the third when they relaxed. Again, it's not just the buzzing. It's not just the shots on goal. It's responding to different moments at different points of the game and being able to step up to the moment as a team. It's not just the collective of individual efforts. It's team hockey. It's the team playing cohesively and coherently together. And in these last two games against teams the Sharks are better than, they've been able to do so. Again, Edmonton, a bigger challenge. You might need a hero's turn for one of these players. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm excited to see the Sharks take that next challenge head on. All right, let's get into these highlights from last night's game. It started with San Jose falling behind 1-0 early on.
Work loose, left wing side, Shark zone. DeBrusk hands off to Pettersson. Pettersson walks to the circle, drops it back. Vilander score! Screen set up in front by Jake DeBrusk against Tim Liljegren. And that's a heck of a shot by Vilander. The Boston University product makes it 1-0 Vancouver.
So that was a little odd at that point to see San Jose down by a score of 1-0. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, how is this team going to respond? And that was the right question because San Jose responded, and boy, did they ever. Three straight goals that eventually turned into five straight goals. But it was a first period onslaught, like we mentioned earlier, started by Macklin Celebrini. The Sharks still in the 4-on-4 situation with an immediate answer as the superstar in San Jose tied the game.
At the near side, good keep in by Klingberg. Gets it over to Celebrini. Stick handles, holds it, shoots it. Stick save from the high slot by Lankinen. Rebound, Will Smith grabs it. Cross ice, Celebrini shoots, score! Macklin Celebrini from Will Smith. A great one-timer on the right wing circle. And the Sharks have tied the game 1-1. And Celebrini has his 27th of the year.
That inverted one-timer on top of the right circle from Macklin Celebrini, is that going to become the new Alex Ovechkin on top of the left circle one-timer? Because there are some things about that shot to where he's going across the face of goal, often with traffic, that's making it very, very hard for the goalie to pick up. And it just looks like it plays into Macklin Celebrini's most wicked shot. That's a mirror image of the goal that we saw against the New York Rangers. And for him to be able to do that two games in a row against good goalies in both specific games, I mean, that's a wicked, nasty shot from Macklin Celebrini. That's a get on your toes, make the save of your life type moment for a lot of goalies because it gets in there so fast. And you just have, again, traffic in front. There's a lot of activity. I think that that's going to be the goal that teams have to stop for Macklin Celebrini. If they want to have a chance to shut him down, you can't give up that goal. But the Sharks, with how good they're good with their puck movement, with how exceptionally talented they are with young players like Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini out there, I mean, good luck. Good luck trying to slow that down. But to see it happen two games in a row, and again, the near mirror image, I just had the thought pop up into my head, this is the new OV on top of the left circle. You know, obviously, different players, different styles, but there are some similarities, and boy, is that fun to watch. After that, the Sharks just kept on pushing. Adam Gaudette, again, the God Squad, making sure that the Sharks do not let that one goal go to waste, and they keep on taking momentum into their own hands, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and William Eklund. Suddenly, 2-1 San Jose.
William Eklund is giving chase in the offensive zone. Loses on the stick check to Marcus Pettersson. He knocks him down. The pucks get free, and Adam Gaudette in the right corner is trying to go back to Eklund, but they miss contact. Now Celebrini intercepts. Moves in front. Eklund now to Gaudette. Shoots. Score! Celebrini to Eklund to Gaudette. And Gaudette finishes it off. At 4 minutes and 43 seconds of the first, the Sharks lead 2-1.
Sharks are humming. Adam Gaudette, with his 11th of the year, continues to show how strong of a pickup he's been for San Jose. Really, really continue to enjoy his game. His attitude is simply the best. If you didn't catch that interview he did during the first intermission, just a very pleasant guy, just been a great addition to this team. And I love watching him have success. The Sharks, however, were not done. Macklin scored at 151. Gaudette scored at 443. And then at 555, Tyler Toffoli, assisted by Alex Wenberg and Sam Dickinson, make it a 3-1 San Jose lead, completely sucking the life out of the building in Vancouver. And the Sharks were on top and just making it look almost easy.
Sharks move back the other way as Tyler Toffoli Alex Wenberg and Pavel Regenda step on. Dickinson on the point sends it over to the left. Now it's centered in front. Score! Wenberg got it from Dickinson and fed it in front, and Tyler Toffoli one times one past Lankinen. Suddenly, it's 3-1 Sharks with 5:55 gone by in the game.
You can hear it in Rusnowski's voice how much fun he's having right there. And again, the tweet from Jonathan Becker, 3 goals in 5 minutes and 55 seconds. That's the fastest 3 goals from the start of a game in San Jose Sharks history. And again, that is just telling you where this team is going, where they are headed, and I think it's only going to get more dangerous from here. San Jose continues to come up with massive, massive plays, massive, massive game-breaking moments. It's not just Macklin. It's not just Will. It's not just player XYZ. They're doing it collectively as a team. They flipped that game on its head after going down 1-0, and they were not done yet. Let's go to the second period. Will Smith, with an all-time snipe for the season, makes it 4-1 San Jose. Vancouver had pushed back into the game through that first part of the second period, but San Jose was able to survive it, and then they take the 4-1 lead by way of Mr. Will Smith.
Settebrini twists to the middle, drops to Klingberg, back to Toffoli, walks to the circle, holds the puck. Still stick handling. Throwing it back now, Settebrini. Up, drop pass. Klingberg missed it, but he's going to keep it in play. They'll fire it across the ice to Smith. He's got time. He shoots. That scored! Will Smith, what a great goal up top. And it ricocheted out quickly, but the Will Smith shot is a laser. And San Jose takes a 4-1 lead. And that is a power play goal from Power Business Technology, copiers and printers for your office needs.
That's the crazy thing about Will Smith in a goal like that. He had time. He could think about it. He knew exactly where he was going with it, and he just went and did it. It was a snipe, but it was one of those put the puck where he wanted it to go, not just blast off and see what happens, turn two cheeks into a type situation. That was just a remarkable display of skill, a great goal. It took me a second to register it. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that went in. What a goal. What a moment. San Jose scoring on the power play. Again, quieting Vancouver, taking the air out of the building. They're up 4-1. Obviously, from this point on, they would have to go through a remarkable penalty kill, a 5-on-3 situation, of which they passed all the tests. They take a power play out of the second period and into the third. John Klingberg puts the San Jose Sharks up 5-1.
Settebrini holding it, back skating, exchanging with Eklund, who's down low. Settebrini on the top of the right circle, whips it rink wide to Will Smith, who stops the puck. Left wing half boards, goes back up top to Klingberg. He shoots, score! At 28 seconds of the third period, John Klingberg makes it 5-1 with a 5-on-3 power play goal.
And scoring that goal to start off the third period when I'm sure Vancouver had designs of making a remarkable comeback. Again, the critical moments where the San Jose Sharks took a 1-0 deficit, turned it into a 3-1 lead, took a second period where Vancouver had been good early throughout the first half of the period, a power play goal makes it 4-1, and then you take a power play out of the second into the third, you capitalize the second power play goal, you turn that 4-1 lead into a 5-1 lead. That 99.9999999% of the time is going to be too much for any team to overcome. And that's exactly what San Jose did. The game, for all intents and purposes, was over. Vancouver was still going to push. They were still going to try and do anything. And yes, it is natural for San Jose to relax, something that I think they should get out of their game, but it is natural to happen. And Vancouver was able to add one back. But at that point, it's far too little, far too late.
Linus Karlsson kept it in, went to DeBrusk down low in the corner. Now back to Pettersson, now back to DeBrusk behind the San Jose net. Power play for another 30 seconds. Pettersson, Kronik, shot, score! So Pettersson and DeBrusk combined behind the net down low, and Pettersson spots Filip Kronik, who has a great shot. Not much of a chance for Askarov on that one, on the one-timer, and Filip Kronik makes it a 5-2 game. Sharks 5 and the Canucks 2, and it is a power play goal for Roenick.
And I do think that it is important to note that San Jose, by way of getting another regulation win, they had a win in regulation against New York. They had a win in regulation against Florida. They had a win in regulation against Washington. You know, they had a win in overtime against Dallas and the Kings, but you know, they also had a regulation win against Columbus. And so not that I think that it doesn't matter that they're winning in overtime because you want wins however you get them, but the fact that they have been consistently winning in regulation, I don't think I can remember another time this year where San Jose has won 3 straight games in regulation. I just don't think that's something that I've seen up to this point. So that's pretty exciting. I have to admit, that is the San Jose Sharks continuing to take steps, and maybe it's more leaps and bounds because they're still just going beyond everyone's wildest expectations. You know, they've got 27 wins on the year. They are at 57 points. They are three games above true 500 at 27 wins and 24 losses. They're 7 wins out of their last 10 games. I mean, guys, even their goal differential is starting to become pretty respectable. They're minus 15 now. You know, it was a lot worse earlier this year, and there have been some bad losses along the way. Tampa's responsible for a couple. You know, we know about that. Vegas. And I know I was joking about this the other day to where it would be incredibly homework for me to say, you know, guys, if you take away the games where the Sharks have played poorly, their goal differential isn't as bad. It's like, yes, thank you, Ted. Why don't you tell me again where Hasso signed your checks? But, I mean, it is true. It's like you take away that which we would qualify as aberrant losses, and the Sharks are a much, much better team on paper. Now, those losses are indicative of where the Sharks are not yet, but it is something just to take into consideration. My name's Ted, and I'm a homer. All right, let's get into some of these post-game reactions. Let's hear from Ryan Warsawski.
Yeah, it was a good response. You know, after that, I think it kind of woke us up a little bit. I was a little sleepy there to start. Not great coverage in that goal against, but, you know, I liked their response in the, you know, second half of that first period especially.
The puck movement just looked really good in the offensive zone, but really the recoveries on the forecheck, both on the power play and 5-on-5, worked so well on that forecheck tonight.
Yeah, I think our forecheck has been pretty consistent all year. It was when we're skating and we got three guys in there and our D are ready to go on their toes and, you know, get five guys connected on it. We keep pucks alive and we stay in the offensive zone. So it was a big key going into tonight. So that was, you know, important to see and kind of keep that going consistently going forward.
One thing that maybe goes kind of unnoticed is just the ability when you guys are breaking pucks out at the end of the shift, getting the deflection at center ice. How strong was that aspect of being able to have the clean changes, especially in the second period there?
Yeah, it's something we've talked about. We just keep getting better at if we want to keep winning. You know, it comes down to little details, changes, puck play through the neutral zone, which is, you know, was fine. There's some improvement that needs to be done there, but we're starting to pick up little details, momentum shifts in games that we've cleaned up here lately. But we're going to, you know, obviously going to keep getting better at it.
The last game against the Rangers, you guys run out to that 3-0 lead, but then maybe kind of slack more than you would like. Tonight, though, you know, you run out to that 3-1 lead against Canucks. I think a much better job tonight of sort of keeping the foot on their throat.
Yeah, started with a big kill, that 5-on-3. We had a kill off, and then we talked about it after the second period. We got a chance to put the nail in them, you know, in them here and step on them and you know, clean, big goal in the power play, 5-on-3. So I think we've learned a little bit of a lesson there as far as last game. Even though you get the result, you got to keep pushing forward and getting better in some areas, and I thought that was important to see.
And again, the thing that he pointed out there was learning from the last game. That is massive. Let's hear a little bit of Macklin Celebrini going back to his hometown before we run out of time.
Yeah, I think that's what we've done a really good job of this year is when teams kind of push back on us or try to get on their front foot, I think we do a good job of just kind of handling it, weathering it, and getting back to our game.
Did you notice on your goal that pass from Will was basically a duplicate of the last goal he scored against the Rangers?
Yeah, I did.
You know, that second goal, he sort of was able to keep the puck in barely at the blue line, and that happened a couple of times. Even Dickinson on the third goal did the same thing, which allowed a lot of pressure. So what allowed you guys to really keep the puck in offensive zone for such long periods of time?
I think just smart puck play, obviously, those reading those plays when the plays are coming up the wall and you feel like you can keep it in. I mean, it helps when you get those bounces, and obviously it doesn't go offside, so... I mean, like you said, there were a couple times there, and I felt like it just kind of put them back on their heels.
In the second period, you know, they had a power play, and it seemed like they had a momentum for a few minutes until you guys got that power play around 8 minutes into it. You know, they couldn't build anything off of that power play beyond the, you know, 3-4 minutes of pressure. But what allowed you guys to sort of take that back in the second with that goal, obviously?
I thought we were just... I mean, we didn't really let it affect us, I don't think. I think we just tried to stick to our game. I mean, they have some special, they're good players on their team, and they're able to make plays and score goals. So I thought we just did a good job on our PK and not letting them get any chances.
By the way, he is continuing to sound and talk more and more like the future captain of this San Jose Sharks team. We are just about out of time. I will see you all Thursday afternoon as we get ready for Edmonton. Pre-game 5:30, go time 6 o'clock, right here on the Sharks Audio Network as we get the Macklin-McDavid showdown that we've all been waiting for. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.